this is you demonstrating the capacity to manage well the things that you've been entrusted with, right? This is like living out, walking out Law of Dominion, right? So it's like, this is what it means to manage well those things, right? So when you're putting names and direction to what happens to your asset, this is you managing the future well.
Hello and welcome to the Remarkable CEO Podcast, a show dedicated to chiropractors who want to transform their job into a business so that they can have a remarkable practice as part of a remarkable life, not instead of one. With your hosts, Dr. Pete Camiolo and Dr. Stephen Franson.
Welcome back to another episode of the Remarkable CEO Podcast. I'm Dr. Pete Camiolo.
And I'm Dr. Stephen Franson.
And today is part two of a two-part series on succession plan. And today we're going to go through a guide and checklist for you for your succession planning. If you missed the previous episode, I would encourage you to go back and listen to it because it is actually a pre-frame. It's really the setup, the heart behind today's conversation, which is going to be more head, hands and feet, but we addressed the heart of why this is so important as a CEO, why this isn't a someday thing, but it's a Monday thing. It's why this is important now. We talk about how things are framed in what's important now, what's important next, and what's important ultimately. This is a what's important ultimately right now. And today we're going to get very practical, Dr. Stephen. We're going to get, like you said on the last episode, we are not attorneys. So we are chiropractors. We are coaches. We come alongside of you. We surround ourselves with people that are strong where we are weak. We surround ourselves with people that are experts in our lives so that we can have the remarkable lives and businesses that support those lives. And we have a plan for it. You know, Dr. Stephen, he's known as the systems guy, which means we have to have a system for everything, including succession planning. So we're excited, Dr. Stephen, I know, about the fact that although this is coming on the heels of really a tragic and heartbreaking situation, it put an urgency to us coming out with this plan and putting this together for our listeners to this podcast, for the doctors who we get to serve. And so, Dr. Stephen, it's going to be a little bit of an academic discussion here today, but we all also are going to include as part of this episode a guide for you. So make sure you check out the show notes, get the PDF. It'll be a guide, a checklist for you to implement moving forward. So Dr. Stephen, eager to have this discussion today with you.
Yeah, Dr. Pete, thank you. So today's conversation is our response to, not a reaction to, but our response to what is a tragic situation inside of our tribe, inside of the Remarkable Practice tribe. We lost one of our doctors. If you heard the last episode, you heard us talking about one of our doctors passing suddenly. And although this client was well on his way of the process of going from owner-operator to CEO, turning his job into a business, he was just in process, right? So as you know, as terrible as the situation is for his spouse and their team and their practice family, their tribe, and how we're feeling that through in our tribe, let's call it a bit less terrible because they were in process, right? So and what we want to do is we just want to encourage you guys to know that, you know, we don't know when God's going to call us, right? We don't know. Tomorrow is not guaranteed, right? So as much as that's a morbid preframe, you know, the reality is that this is a conversation that we have to have as professionals, right? We have to have this conversation as coaches. Like Dr. Pete said, we're not attorneys. This is not legal advice. This is us coaching you, right? And guiding you and educating you and saying, listen, you need to take direction from us and take action for you, right? So for you and for your family, we've been involved in too many of these conversations. But I've been coaching chiropractors for 20 years. I do not want to recount the calls that I get on a Sunday night of some spouse who's literally crushed because of the sudden loss or for whatever reason, the key player, the primary doc, the clinic director, the key adjuster, the only adjuster, whatever the situation is out of the picture. It is a terrible dynamic. I've walked too many people through this. So I just want you to benefit from what is, you know, their crisis. Let's not let a crisis go to waste, as the expression is. It's like, this is literally, there's an opportunity to make this fruitful and to honor this awesome doctor and his walk and where he was in his journey. I know that he's looking down on us right now, listening to this with a smile on his face, just feeling like he has served the chiropractic community even further now with being able to share what we're going to be sharing here today. Part two in this remarkable session plan conversation today is very practical and tactical. As Dr. Pete said, we've created a checklist for you. It's a guide. It's meant to quite simply maybe help you know what you don't know, right? So it's like, oh my gosh, that's a blind spot for me, or I didn't know I need to have that in order. It's meant to be a checklist to guide your conversation with your trusted experts. You know, you should be having these conversations with your attorney, with your financial planner, with your professional planners. If you're coaching with us, as a conversation that we should be having, your insurance experts, right? So there's a team of experts that you need to assemble around you now, and you need to be having this conversation now. Okay. So you put together a plan that is a living plan that will continue to move and grow with you in your vision as you move through these different seasons of your career and your life. So much of this is just going to continually evolve and grow, but this is an awesome starting point. For some of you, maybe it's a reminder. For some of you, maybe it's pushing it from the bottom of the to-do list to the top of the to-do list. For some of you, it's you need to just dust off that folder that you have tucked in the corner of your office. It's just time to bring this thing current and make sure that everyone and anybody that is a, let's call it a shareholder, you know, in this conversation, anybody that is impacted or affected, that we open the lines of communication, you know, physically, digitally, and we just keep this communication moving, as what we want to do is mitigate the consequences of you not doing that, right? So this is what we're navigating right now with this family and their practice, and we want to mitigate your exposure here. So Dr. Pete, I know that you know we're going to give this resource away. It's in the show notes below, but I think it's worth we just walk through it and talk through it a bit. As you know, the reality is that there's always a story behind the story, right? So the first, let's do this in two phases or two parts. The first is more on the personal side, sort of an overriding narrative. And then there's a drill down into the business and on the professional side as a business owner. Okay. So let's start with the things that are common knowledge, but knowing is not doing, in my experience, right? People know that they need to have these things, but they don't necessarily have them done, or they're not current, right? So the first is to review and update your estate planning documents, okay? So when we talk about your estate planning, immediately you should be working with an estate planning expert, okay? And that's your last will and testament. It's any trust you have, revocable trust and irrevocable trust. Dr. Pete, it's just really critical that you have a plan in place for those you leave behind to say, okay, so this is what Dr. Pete would have done. This is what Dr. Steven would have done. This is what they wanted done. This is, you know, it's captured here. It's in writing. I like the idea of also having a supplemental video, right? And then having what I consider my board of trustees. Like I have three men in my life that I do life with who know me. In other words, they know my core values. They know my vision story for my family, for our future, for my businesses. Like they're all in the know. This is my inner circle. This is my foxhole and three people that I know I could trust to execute my wishes, my plan, and my vision on behalf of my wife and I, if we are both out of the picture. Obviously, if it's just me and Camilla's left behind, she's the boss. She's going to she'll make all the calls. But if, you know, let's face it, she and I are together all the time. If something tragic were to happen, it's not unthinkable that both of us would be out of the picture, right? So we wanted to make sure that there was a clear plan of action with all of the players identified and everybody knowing exactly where they're going to find all of the documentation and a plan of action to guide the process so people were not guessing.
Yeah, Dr. Steven, I think for many of us, you know, as an entrepreneur and starting a business, like, You are a risk averse person. So therefore you are not like taking risks is not your issue, right? Like you're willing to take risks and start a business and take the road less traveled and put it on the line and all that. This conversation is actually, it can actually be a challenge for some entrepreneur types because we are hardwired to just, If things were to happen, we'll just start another business. We'll just keep going. We'll figure it out, right? And so you might not take this that seriously. And I'm speaking from my own personal experience, that if you are a risk taker, you don't mind the risk. Like, you're not afraid if the worst came to worst. Like, you're saying, you know what, no matter what happens, like, we're going to be okay. We'll figure it out. Like, that attitude is actually a beautiful thing. It's a gift. It's an amazing thing. It's why you're an entrepreneur. It's why you own a business or businesses. It's why you've done what you've done. But it's not a pass to not having this done. I just want to say that, Dr. Steven, just raw, real. If you were in a career and part of your business built into your corporate experience was you had retirement planning and all these things, it would be built into the structure of this corporate kind of world that you might live in. But in a small business world, in the entrepreneurial business world, that stuff's not built in. And so this is actually a discipline, like you said, Dr. Steven, that's not only going to help you build a more profitable business, a better business for yourself, it's actually going to be better for everyone that works with you. The result of this work, your business will grow. You will become more profitable. You will make a bigger impact. You will make a bigger income. All that's going to happen as a result of these steps. So like you said, there's probably a few groups of people here, whether you have to dust off a plan you have, whether you need to pull back, you know, get started, you know, or anywhere in between, we are saying that this is a now thing. It's bring right. it back. And as an entrepreneur, let's not, like, this is where you don't want to take a risk. This is where you want to have things in order and ducks in a row. This may go against like your nature, your hardwiredness, just to kind of be that wild, wild west kind of person. Like, I can go and make it happen. This is, I'm covered my back and I'm covering my family's back. Cause it's actually not about you. It's about your family. And in the case that we've been stimulated by, it's actually your team, it's your business, it's your legacy. That's all of that's on the line at this point.
It's such an important point to make. I want to reiterate what you said there is, like, we are not risk averse, right? So we're highly risk tolerant as entrepreneurs, right? So that's why this conversation is necessary, frankly, right? Yeah. So, because there might be some people out there that are just like, well, actually, you know, I am allergic to risk and this stuff is buttoned up, right? I have absolutely ticked these boxes. I have it in digital format in my own. I've got a digital data room. I've got multiple copies on thumb drives in my safe and with my attorney, with my accountant, with my mother-in-law, right? Like, and we've got it printed in duplicate. It's also in the safe and handed out to the respective parties, right? Awesome. Congratulations, right? For you, I might say, hey, let's keep it current, right? So that's awesome. And for you, maybe you could reach out to the other 97% of chiropractors and business owners, tell them, remind them and come alongside them and iron sharpens iron here and make sure they get it done. For the rest of us, you know, this is a procrastination push. This is not something that you want to put off, right? So the second piece of this is beneficiary designation, right? So understanding like you've got assets, right? So you've got to give them direction, right? So every piece of this is like, you got to be able to think about, it's like, okay, so I need to be able to capture a place in one document. Like, what are all your assets? Your actual and virtual assets, right? So you've got to make sure that you're super clear on, you know, who gets what and give it this clear direction to take that stress off of the rest of your family, right? So not to mention to avoid like probate and having everything getting tied up and locked up, you know, which is a terrible situation. Not to mention there's mechanisms that will shelter so many of your assets so you're not dealing with estate taxes. I mean, this is a real deal, guys. Like all of these elements, all these moving parts here is about protecting what you have earned and own and want to be able to create a generational experience, like a generational legacy and generational wealth, right? So clearly you want to identify things like your life insurance policies, like whole life insurance, index funds, retirement accounts, any other assets, and make sure that just stays just consistent with what your view is and your plan is for what's, you know, what's to come of all of those assets. Give them direction, right? So money is dynamic. Assets are dynamic, right? So you need to give it direction. I love what DeMartini teaches around that. It's flowing through you, right? So you've got to give it direction. And managing this well is an example of this is a covenant, right? So this is you demonstrating the capacity to manage well the things that you've been entrusted with, right? This is like living out, walking out law of dominion, right? So it's like, this is what it means to manage well those things, right? So when you're putting names and direction to what happens to your asset, this is you managing the future well, right? So number three is organizing important documents. So you want to be compiling all the documentation, deeds, titles, financial statements, accounts, insurance policies, legal documents that need to be secured and passed on to the family, right? So this needs to all be in one place, guys. You need to have master lists. Just think about like your accounts. Dr. Pete, you and I were talking about this, you know, before we jumped on here, the idea of like, how many accounts do you have? Like, you need to have a master list of all your accounts, where they are, what banks, what are the account numbers, what are the account names, are there nicknames for those accounts? What are those accounts? What's in there? What are the passwords for those accounts, right? Like, all of that needs to be collected into a data room, right? So it needs to be locked down and secure, okay? Mine, for example, like I'll tell you guys, it's in the safe and in my attorney's safe, right? So, and there is a plan. My family has this clear plan around, okay, so this is where this is. There's a list of the accounts and all the assets, including things like equity that I hold in different holdings, right? So whether they're businesses, like, you know, I have equity in 10 different places. Like, my family, that would be vapor, right? I mean, I trust that my partners would come forward and say, hey, did you know that you guys had 5%, 10%, 37.5% of this, right? I trust my partners would do that. But, you know, that's a hope and pray type of scenario. That's not a strategy, right? So it's like, you want to have a strategy that says, I have documented these holdings and I've kept it current. And I've made what is a terrible situation, a very painful situation for everybody that I've left behind. I've made it easier, Dr. Pete, for them to walk through this gracefully and intelligently so that they don't get lost emotionally.
Cairo Matchmakers will help you find the right person for the job. If you're looking to hire the ideal chiropractic assistant, Cairo Matchmakers will help you find the specific person missing from your team so that you can get back to using your talents to serve more people. Or if you're looking to hire the ideal associate doctor, CMM can help. Cairo Matchmakers helps chiropractors like you find the ideal associate doctor to unlock your practice potential and get you the freedom that you desire. To learn more, go to chiromatchmakers.com.
You know, we like to say that, and you'll hear us use this quote, you know, marketing isn't hard, you know, it's organized. We talk about how, you know, your business needs to be simple, right? Chiropractic is a simple and elegant solution. We talk about systems create, they simplify, which makes it more scalable, right? This is about organization. That's what we're talking about, Dr. Steven. What you're talking about is getting organized, the law of dominion. I love that reference. I think it's such a powerful reference. And we're using it specifically now in terms of, you know, your succession plan and having these pieces in place. And the reason why this is really, it's raw in this moment for me and for us is that we're actually facing a situation where some of that maybe wasn't that way. And now we have to deal with the consequence of how to navigate that. And, you know, thankfully there's ways to navigate, but that's not how you want to leave it, right? So from an organizational standpoint, be thinking about, again, going back to the previous episode, if you were out of the picture, this is taking into consideration, if I'm out of the picture, is everything organized? Is everything set up exactly how it needs to be? Is everybody in the know? Is everything where it needs to be? And this isn't a once and done and, you know, I'm done. This is a regular recurring rhythm. We talk about meeting rhythms and reporting systems, right? That's how you turn, you know, your job into a business. One of the frameworks we use. So this is a framework of a meeting rhythm and a reporting system. Like, you have to have that. We're organizing that. And we're suggesting, Dr. Steven, that at a minimum annually, this is part of that rhythm. This should be an annual rhythm at a minimum for you to keeping everything up to date, up to speed. So like setting up that meeting rhythm, setting up that reporting system, organizing all of this, that is what we're encouraging you to do if you don't have that done already.
That's right. That's right. And the next piece of this is communication. And, you know, it's one thing to capture everything and document everything in documentation, which is really important. It's vital, right? So that's a step in this process, right? Capturing that data and communicating through the documentation. But you've got to make sure that you're communicating a plan for those documents, right? Like, somebody's got to know where they are. that they exist, right? So have a copy of them, so to speak. So, you know, of course, there's a conversation between Camilla and I, but there's also a conversation with our attorney, right? So, and our attorney knows, okay, so we have this, and I want you to work with our CFO and our accountant, you know, our bookkeeping team and our, I mean, this circle of people that, you know, this is our COO, they're on our financial chair. Like, so like there is a team of people that this is where you're going to find this information, these resources. Let's bring everybody together so that they're equipped. And all of the players are in place and they're aware, you know, I'm expecting this. Here's this document. Here are my directives. If this, then that, right? Scenarios type of deal. But then you've got to communicate to my parents, Camilla's parents, our kids, our children, our siblings, right? So you get a sense of like, okay, so here's the plan, right? So like, for example, just very practically, I have teenagers. I have my kids. So when we had this conversation with them initially, it's take out your phone. Go to your contacts. I want you to enter this contact, attorney. Okay. And then I give my attorney's name and contact information under there. So in the worst situation, you know, Camilla and I are out of the picture. My kids aren't looking at each other like, well, what do we do now? It's like, I told them first phone call, right? You call my parents and you second phone call is you call and get on the phone with my attorney. Right. So my kids know, you know, just putting it in their phone under attorney, they don't have to remember, you know, John's name. They don't have to remember how to find him in their directory. You follow me? Like just simple tactical things like that, where you have to put yourself in the other person's shoes for a moment, in a moment of duress. It's like, how can we make this easy for them and secure at the same time, Dr. Pete? Using videos, like have a video where you speak to all of these stakeholders, right? So talk to your wife, talk to your spouse, talk to your children, talk to your parents, your siblings, like create a video and talk to them, okay, about what, you know, how you felt about them and what your wishes are for them and, you know, what message or material assets you've left behind for them, right? So speak through video. You can imagine what a gift that would be to leave that in behind you, right? So in your past. And obviously that's something that you'd want to, like you said, you'd want to revisit. And I know that this can feel heavy as I say this to you, but you can imagine, you know, what a blessing it would be for those that you left behind.
Mm. Dr. Steven, it's one of the things that we teach is that every year you have to update your vision story, right? So you're always 3 years out, 1 year out, 90 days. And this falls in line with one of those disciplines that if you think about it, 3 years out, 1 year out, 90 days. What I love doing is I love looking at people's vision story from 3 years ago. I'll say, hey, bring your vision story that you wrote 3 years ago. Let's take a look at that. Let's look at that vision map you put together 3 years ago. Let's see how that played out. And it's amazing how when you actually write things down, you organize how much more likely it is that it happens. This is part of that. This is saying you put it down on paper, you put together the plan, because the likelihood that in the likelihood that, or the unlikelihood that this were to happen unexpectedly, but in the case that it was, like you are planned out, you're ready to go. And that's what the power of this is. Because just like if you write your vision story 3 years ago in your vision map and you focus on that, 3 years later, it's amazing how much of that actually became true and is in your life right now. This is the same. You're literally leaving the vision story of your bright of the future that you desire. You're leaving it starting now. That's the power of this. So just like you use your vision story, vision map for your business, this is actually part of the vision for your life beyond your life.
That's exactly right. So this plan, to your point, needs to be updated. You know, reviewing and updating your estate plan periodically is a best practice. You just you have to do it because it's a living document, right? So this entire process is a living document. And annually, I love having your vision story be a reflection of that. So, you know, as business owners, the next step in this process is to outline your business succession planning, which is going to be a big part of your personal succession planning. Most likely as a business owner, it's going to be part of the puzzle, but I think it's probably more clear and cleaner to have a distinction between the two, right? So, you know, once again, guys, again, we're not attorneys. You need to have attorneys walk you through this process. But at the end of the day, we are experts in exit planning, right? So, and this is a big part of the exit plan. So making sure from a high level that, you know, when you look at your business itself, that succession plan is essentially, it details what's going to happen in your passing, like like what happens for leadership, management, in what roles, like what are your wishes, like being able to verbalize the direction through your vision story of this is what I want happening now. This is what I want happening. Ultimately, this is where we want to be in 3 years. This is where we want to be next. Like leave that. Like that is a written vision story. It's going to serve as a guide for the entire conversation, right? So you want to identify your successor as a leader and maybe a successor as an owner. Maybe be clear around your successor criteria. Like, you know, if you were going to buy a practice, you would have acquisition criteria. Why not have selling criteria to like, who's going to be your successor? Like the legacy, who's going to be taking your place? Like outline that. And if you have a first, second, third choice, outline that and use names. So people are specific and there's no mystery around that. Have a buy-sell agreement in place, right? So start from there. Like ultimately, what a way to get to the brutal facts, right? And have a buy-sell agreement in place for that person to be picking right up on. Having the business continuity plan, which is, you know, in essence, this is how I want to execute the business moving forward. Marketing, sales, delivery, team building, money, right? So the accountability grid lived out in a plan of like, this is what we're doing. Again, this is your 1 year, 3 year vision story for the business through the perspective of, my gosh, what if I was out of the picture? I would want to tell my successor what my wishes were. You know, of course, it's not legally binding, right? But it's something that's like, here's a guideline for you to move. This is what I would have done moving this business forward. What a great way to protect your legacy. Having that transition team in place, the team of experts, trusted experts that surround you and come alongside of your successor and the successing team, your succession team. These are advisors like us, frankly, coaches, consultants that are experts in this space, your attorneys, financial planners, accountants, all of these people is part of, to support this process and execute the plan and advise those people that are left, you know, in your in behind you on this. And then training and documentation, which of course is a core competency of the Remarkable CEO. If you're in our program and you're following our process, this is part of the system. You have your operations manuals. You have your SOP, your standard operating procedures outlined for marketing, for attraction, for sales, for conversion, for delivery, for retention, right? So these are all team building. Everything is outlined and captured and documented. And of course, you have your training curriculum and training resources. And then finally, Dr. Beat, insurance is just making sure that your insurance is squared up, right? And there's multiple types of insurance, everything from your business insurance to properties insurance to malpractice insurance, and frankly, key man insurance or whole life insurance, which of course creates, you know, some more options, which we call optionality, right? So when you have, when this transition is funded, it makes a total different, it's a total different experience as we've seen so many of these businesses try to transition with no capital. And that's tragic, because you have zero leverage and you're left at this place where whoever you leave behind is left at effect because they do not have the capital that they need to make the investments, to make the best moves, the right moves to give everybody a soft landing.
So Dr. Steven, this has been a two-part series. I believe it's been very sobering, but I believe it's been very timely. And, you know, so as we shared earlier, please, if you haven't listened to the previous episode and you're listening to this one, please also listen to that episode as well. If you find this to be very valuable to you, meaningful, important, and you want to share it with a colleague that you believe needs to be in the know, please share this series, this episode series with them. I believe this is something that we all need to be ready for. And this is part of our word for the year is readiness. And this is about being ready, a readiness, and being a ready leader and a ready business. This is part of that. So again, the stimulation for this conversation maybe came a little bit early and unexpected, but it actually is exactly how it was meant to be. So make sure you get the attachment, which is the guide and the checklist that's part of this episode. And if you have any questions or concerns that you have, feel free to reach out to Dr. Steven or myself. We're here to serve you. We're happy to help. And remember, we are here to help you build a more remarkable business that's going to help you experience that remarkable life. That remarkable life extends even beyond your lifetime. Remember that. And I look forward to us reconnecting next week for the next episode of the Remarkable CEO podcast. Until then, God bless everyone.
Doc, hundreds of our coaching clients have grown their businesses following our remarkable CEO program. Well, now it's your turn. We are kicking off a new cohort of remarkable CEOs this month. Enrollment's limited, so don't delay. If you're ready to turn your job into a business, make a bigger impact, and a bigger income, the Remarkable CEO program is what you've been looking for. Go to theremarkablepractice.com/REM CEO to apply today.
Please stick around for more business insights from this week's bonus interview with our remarkable success partner dedicated to helping you more successfully help more people. Enjoy.
All right, guys, welcome back to our interviews with our success partners. I'm really excited today. I am here with Andrew White, Dr. Andrew White, and he has a pretty amazing heart for his company, and I'm excited for him to jump in and tell us about Align Co. So welcome, Dr. White, and thank you for being one of our success partners here on the CEO podcast. So why don't we jump right in and tell us about Align Co. And the evolution of launching Align Co., if you don't mind sharing your story.
Yeah, of course. So I am from Michigan originally, and my mother was a nurse at University of Michigan in Ann Arbor when I was a kid. She had a classic throw your back out moment when I was very young. She went to her medical doctor. They saw a disc issue, referred her to an orthopedist, recommended surgery. Post-surgery, had chronic pain, and then they ended up giving her Oxycontin, and she's been struggling with opioid addiction now for about 30 years. So that was the impetus for me to get into healthcare. I was pre-med in college and planning on going to medical school. But at the time, the consolidation of healthcare was really hot and heavy. Hospitals were buying everybody up. And my family practice I went to all my life got bought. And I'd asked why they sold. And they told me, well, they were basically told if they didn't sell, they might get kicked out of network of some of the big insurance companies. And so then again, give me a taste of kind of what was going on. And I realized I wasn't going to be able to practice the way I wanted. So I had experience with chiropractic when I was a kid through sports. I was a football player through high school and college. And so I always knew about chiropractic and had good experience about it. And so then I realized I had developed that kind of strong aversion to the rush of drugs and surgery and the way that the medical field was practicing. So then I visited Palmer, went out in Iowa, did that. Then while I was there, I realized a lot of my passion was tied to my mom's story and access to good healthcare. So then I did lobbying in DC for a bit through the ACA and ICA. Mm-hmm. And it was a good experience, but again, I was just clear that big change I was hoping to impart wasn't gonna come from there. So then I went back to Michigan, did a residency or peak or preceptorship, whatever your school calls it.
Yeah.
At a large high volume clinic in Michigan. And I thought I'm just gonna go learn from them and figure out how to serve as many people as possible, try to reach people like my mom faster. Ended up originally partnering with that clinic and we were having a lot of success. But I was really frustrated early on because for all the success we were having, every week I'd meet patients like my mom. And I felt like I was meeting them late constantly. They'd already been through the ringer, had surgeries, been on drugs. They would all have the same sentiment like, oh, I wish I would have met you sooner. And it would always break my heart. And so I just started trying to reverse engineer the problem because the opioid epidemic had just been getting worse and worse. The time when I had set out to try and create a line and co. There was 189-190 people a day that were dying of opioid overdose last year. I think it was up to like almost 212. And of that number, a large percentage started taking their opiates for musculoskeletal issues. And right. So I'm a vitalistic chiropractor, so I know there's a lot of ways we can help folks, but out of all things, like basic back pain, it blows my mind how people die from back pain. Right. And so I'd read some case studies in chiropractic school about businesses that developed robust on-site health programs, including chiropractic and some of the results they had seen. And I was tracking a lot of the stats that we were seeing in our clinics and the results we were getting. And so I always felt like, man, there's got to be a way to tie or show business owners the value in chiropractic because you know, if we're helping these patients in my clinic get better, yeah, that's translating to ROI to their lives and their work. And so then that was kind of the impetus to set out to create some software in 2019 to help business owners see the value in chiropractic. Mm-hmm. Launched 2020, using that software to try and land contracts, having businesses pay us to deliver chiropractic services on site. Mm-hmm. prove that model through 2020 and 2021, and then really just prep to scale through the next 18 months, and then kind of brings us almost to today. And so again, what I do today now full time is I sell businesses and corporations on the value of bringing chiropractic care into the workplace. And then we contract local doctors to go adjust on site. And so it's another form of marketing for a clinic. It's a great way if you have multiple associates and they're not completely full to help fill some time. So we'll pay the clinic to send a doc on site and adjust. And then we highly encourage those clinics to talk about their clinic so that they can stimulate referrals back to their clinic. And any of those referrals subject from our agreement. So they charge them however they charge their normal patients. And so again, it's a great way just to add another tool in an office's tool belt to serve more people and market their clinic. So that's kind of the big vision of how it started and why I'm doing it. Last thing I'll say is there's 168,000 businesses in the United States that are in my ideal market as far as what Align & Co. does. That represents about 49 million Americans. And of that, about 9 million today statistically are struggling with back issues. And of that, about 2 million are taking some sort of drug every day for their pain. And so what we believe is that if we can help all those businesses see the value and bring chiropractic care in the workplace, then that'd be a good leading indicator to finally make a dent in the opiate problem. So again, I'm very passionate about trying to push reform through innovation. And I've become exceptional at this niche thing as far as helping businesses see the value in chiropractic and how to deliver it on site. And so I'm just going to push for the rest of my career or for as long as I plan. I don't know. I plan to do this for a while because it's a big issue. But that's the kind of big vision of what we do.
Andrew, you said so much right there. Like, I feel like whoever's listening to this should go back and re-listen a couple of times because like you unpack some. I think, first of all, like as a chiropractor, you look out and you see these opportunities where we're not maybe stepping into all the ways that we could be serving our community and going to the people. And in my experience, which is somewhat similar in bringing chiropractic into school districts, I mean, the people are more ready, I think, for chiropractic than we are as a profession.
Yeah.
Now, that's part of the reason why I love TRP so much, because it's helping clinics bring more docs on so they can do work like this and really start to grassroots make changes one by one by one by one. And like the fallout when we look at what happens when someone like your mom, when the system fails her, it's like, that is not a small thing, right? Like the ripple effect from that, which I mean, I can only imagine. So it's a powerful story and it's real life and it's happening every day in so many families. And so, yeah, I think especially if you have excess DC power where you've got more than one DC on a team, and this is something that you could make a plan in your marketing as well as like future expansion, the ample opportunities out there, there's a lot, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, so, you know, with that said, let's say a CEO is listening to this and they're like, okay, you know, I can see where there's a need in my community. Like, what can a CEO expect if they hire you to help them do something like this, like to get into some of the businesses in their area?
Yep. So we have an initial kind of vetting process to make sure that you're a good fit for us and that we're a good fit for you. There are some offices we're not going to be a good fit for, whether that be technique specific things or philosophical issues or just capacity issues. But in general, if you're a CEO listening and you have desires to really scale and try and grow significantly, we can be a great fit in the sense that we can help you achieve a bit like a bigger vision or goal by lowering the risk of bringing on more docs or expanding into new communities. And in general, if you're a good fit, there's no cost for the doc to start to work with us. We will sell on your behalf in your community once you've gone through that. So we'll go find the businesses and land the contracts. We launched last year, we call our mobile units, which are mobile x-ray. So we actually handle all the initial onboarding and processing of all the employees to get them enrolled in the program. So you don't have to worry about getting bogged down with a bunch of patients when you're trying to run your clinic like normal. And so then we just hand the files to your clinic to then go do what you do and just be a great doc and serve those employees well. And as far as the return goes, you know, we will pay the clinic to serve the business. It's not going to be, to be honest, it's not, if you're looking at me and thinking I'm going to be able to just make my entire living off of doing this, probably not. I mean, it's really, again, designed to be a supplement to a current clinic. You're definitely going to make money on it. But really what you should see this as is that it's paid marketing. It's one of the only opportunities I know of to get paid to market your clinic, where I'm going to pay you to go and adjust a captive audience of people who all have spheres of influence and friends and family that I highly encourage you to stimulate referrals to. So we normally see at least one, sometimes two to three referrals per employee you treat. So if I contract your clinic for a 100 employee company, then I would expect in the next 12 to 18 months that you could get about 100 referrals to your clinic. I don't want to pay you to stimulate those referrals. And I don't know what the LTV is in your clinic, but if it's in the thousands of dollars, then you can do the math on like what that could mean for your clinic as far as, again, just getting some new ones back into the practice. And so, again, it can be a really great way to just supplement, again, a doc that's not full to help subsidize their salary. And then again, use it in a 2-for-1 instance where not only am I helping to, or is my company helping to pay for their time and their salary, but it's also, again, going to be marketing back to the clinic. So again, the vetting process, it's just an initial get to know you and make sure we're a good fit. And if so, there's no cost for us to start selling. But again, that's just kind of the first start of the process.
Yeah. And I think, and Andrew, correct me if I'm wrong, but like, this is the model that we're starting to see in healthcare in general. I just found out here that we had hospital systems shut down in our area because they're too top heavy. And this model of bringing the system, quote unquote, into places seems to be one of the ways that they're going to try and like spider web this off. So, you know, I think you're innovating with the times right now.
Yeah. And I know we had chatted right before we started recording this that I think one of the last questions was going to be around, I think, where I see like things going. Right. I think that was kind of what I see in the horizon for chiropractic. I'll say this. We're launching something this year. It's almost ready. But I've been starting to get approached by insurance companies that want to work with us. Because if you think about it, and in the best case world, if I'm Blue Cross Blue Shield, is that my beneficiaries, the people that have Blue Cross that I'm representing, pay their premium and don't really use their insurance. And when you think about how they underwrite a deal, they are expecting that there's going to be a pool of people who are going to cost them the most, basically all the money, and then a larger pool that's not really going to cost them much of any money, especially with how high deductible plans work these days.
Right.
And so insurance companies are looking for ways to lower their liability and increase their profits. And products like mine are a way to help them do that, because we have data that's continuing to grow with every new client that signs on the benefits of chiropractic and what it's meaning for the ROI from the company and also their benefits. And so we're getting approached by insurance companies that are trying to figure out like how they can work with us in the sense of offering incentives to employers to hire us. And so my point is, there are some things that are happening that we're going to launch this year that are very innovative and kind of new things in the space of chiropractic and how we can not see insurance as an enemy. I've talked to a lot of offices that don't accept any insurance and they see them as these evil people. I mean, in general, I get it. Like, again, when I was lobbying and when I've gotten very involved at this point with talking to some people that are high up in hospital systems or high up in insurance companies as we've been scaling and growing. In general, sure. Yeah, you can, the cynical part of me, like, yeah, there are some people that maybe have nefarious, you know, goals. But in general, there's a lot of people that work in those industries that are trying to figure out how to get people healthier and how to drive better outcomes in the United States in healthcare. And so it's not that they're evil or that they even see us as like evil or bad.
Yep.
They're just trying to figure out how to get better outcomes, and they just don't know what they don't know. So they don't know what we can do. And so again, I would encourage anyone listening, that wherever you're passionate, you know, like I'm very passionate again about the opioid issue and just getting general access to more people. Mm-hmm. But again, if you're super passionate about whatever niche in chiropractic, your story, most chiropractors talk to got involved because either they themselves had an amazing testimony or a family member or someone had this life-changing chiropractic story. Mm-hmm. So whatever that passion is for you, I would just encourage you to think about it. Mm-hmm. And try to reverse your way to thinking about what, how can I innovate to reach more of those people faster? Because to your point, Lana, I would agree that the world more than ever, not just the consumers. Yes, the consumers are trying to are becoming more educated and are looking for alternatives. Mm-hmm. But even in the big institutions, they're trying to figure out how to stay relevant, how to, mm-hmm. because the customer tendencies are changing, because general mm-hmm. America, they're becoming more educated and they're not just blindly accepting what their medical doctor says anymore. The big institutions are trying to figure out like how to stay ahead of the curve. And again, I think chiropractic is a real opportunity to step up and say, hey, you know, we've been doing this since 1895. We've got some really cool things going on. We got some really great outcomes that mm-hmm. when people come to us, they're healthier, they go to the doctor less, they have these better outcomes. I think there's going to be a real opportunity to see some of these people that you may have seen before as enemies, as allies, to help us serve more people. And I would just encourage people listening to and just check your ego a bit. You know, like if you start to feel like chiropractic's the best and everybody else should go away, I would encourage you to maybe take a step back and ask yourselves again, why are you, who are you called to serve? What's the best way to reach those people? And can I align myself with other groups or entities that will help me achieve things faster? I think I would just encourage, because again, things are changing. And I would say that we have a really massive opportunity as a profession to step into that void that mm-hmm. is getting bigger and becoming more prominent, both on the patient side and on some large institutions as well.
Mm. So much value you shared with us. I'm fired up. Like, it's exciting. Thank you. So if someone's listening, they want to reach out, they're interested in like next steps with you, what's the best mode?
Yep. So we've been a success partner now for just over a year, which is great. It's been awesome. Love TRP. So on our website, which I'll include a link with Lana, she'll put in the show notes, but it's alignco.life. So alignco.life/TRP. So alignco.life/TRP. We'll take you to a landing page, which gives you some information about our affiliate program. If you're interested, then again, you can schedule a free call just for us to get to know you a bit, and you can go from there.
Love it. Thank you so much. And thank you for all you're doing for the profession. So good. Yeah.
Thanks for having me.
Of course.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Remarkable CEO Podcast. Remember, what the world needs now is chiropractic. And what chiropractic needs now is more successful chiropractors. If you like this podcast, please subscribe, share with a friend, and leave us a review. And if you'd like to connect with us personally, direct message us on Facebook, LinkedIn, or Instagram. Now go and be remarkable.